Welcome into my podcast with Brian Walton. We do this every Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And don't forget, we have added my good friend Bernie Miklas, formerly of the Post-Dispatch. He is writing daily columns, and all you have to do is go to the website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, put in your email, and that'll be delivered to your inbox. And if you want to read his daily columns, which have started already, just go to the website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. On the website right now, there is a visit with Cardinal Tommy Edman with Chris Raby. So check that out as well. We have also added Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlow of Fox 2. They've got great conversations. Included in there is former Cardinal John Rodriguez. So that's up on the site, and check it out at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. In just a moment, I'll visit with Brian Walton. The doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group are some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. And when people hear about sports medicine, they think disabled list. They think they're going to be out for a long time because they're going to have surgery. Well, doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf are experts in stem cell regenerative technology. Doctors from all over the country are coming to St. Louis, to Chesterfield Valley, to learn how they are doing it. We're talking about your body's stem cells redirected to concentrate all of their power into the joints that cause you pain. So recovery times are very, very short, and you're back on the field, you're back out maybe taking your walks, doing whatever it is that makes you healthy again. Schedule an appointment, avoid the surgery, do yourself a favor. 636-778-2900. Again, the number, 636-778-2900. Visit them at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. As we do every Wednesday, a chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com, and a lot to get to. As the winter meetings are virtual, but they're up and running. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And Brian, good morning as always. Nice to hear your voice. Hopefully everybody's safe and healthy with you.
Yes, Dan, and it's always a pleasure to be on. There's news to talk about, and there'll be more in the next few days.
Well, let's start with the minor leagues, because this is right up your alley. This is kind of a big day for certain cities across the country. It's the selection for minor league teams to get to 120. Now, we know there's been a reduction. This was coming, and Major League Baseball wants to be affiliated with certain teams, certain cities. 120 is the cutoff mark. So explain exactly what's happening today at the winter meetings with Minor League Baseball.
Well, there's been a lot of negotiations behind the scenes in recent months, really almost for the last year since this word came out that that Major League Baseball wanted to cut the levels in the minor league system down by two. And so the model that will come out the backside is five teams and on the U.S. level, four of them full season, and then one complex team either in the Gulf Coast League or the Arizona League. So two levels were cut out of the minor league system and roughly 40 teams. So now the Major League Baseball had some criteria regarding the locations of the teams, the minor league teams, as well as their investment in their facilities to ensure that the clubhouses and the lighting and everything is up to current standards. So all these negotiations were going on behind the scenes to decide which 120 cities would keep minor league teams and which ones would lose them. In the case of the Cardinals, we already pretty much know what's going to be announced, barring some sort of miraculous surprise, and that is State College and Johnson City have been dropped, and they'll move into college wood bat leagues, and the Cardinals' four levels, full season levels, will remain, although in a different order. So Memphis AAA, Springfield AA, but then the Class A teams are rumored to be switching. So Peoria and the Midwest League would become a high A level, and Palm Beach and the Florida State League would become a Class A level. And the reason for that is the Class A being the lowest level, it would be much easier for organizations like the Cardinals to move players from there to back and forth with the next lower level team down, which is the Gulf Coast League. So both would be resident in Jupiter.
When you talk about State College and Johnson City and a wood bat league, what does that do in terms, in your opinion, for some of these places with attendance and interest level in those towns? Is it going to hurt? Will it elevate? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, it's going to drop definitely. And one of the things that I did earlier this year, I went back and did a case study on Springfield, Illinois. Springfield, Illinois was once the Cardinals' top minor league team, AAA affiliate in the early 1980s. And I went through a progression as they went from AAA to single A to independent league to college wood bat league where they are today, and looked at the attendance, the fan interest, the value of the franchise, the investment in the facilities. And it's just an unfortunate thing that, you know, it's not that State College and Johnson City fans won't be able to see baseball, but it won't be the same, you know, same kind of baseball, and there won't be the same level of interest. And those franchises won't have the same level of value. So in the case of at least one franchise, the Staten Island Yankees, they've already gone to court because they were dropped. They were one of the teams that didn't make the 120, you know, cut. And they are taking a tremendous financial loss as a result and are going to court to fight it. So, you know, there's going to be some losers in this case for sure.
When you have the winter meetings, you have the Rule 5 draft. That's coming up this week as well. Maybe explain how the Rule 5 draft works and then how it pertains to the Cardinals upcoming here in the next 24, 48 hours.
Rule 5 is really designed as a way to allow players to move from organizations that are very rich in talent to organizations that maybe have a little less talent. The qualification for Rule 5 depends on the number of players. After a player's been in the minor leagues like 6 years, he can become Rule 5 eligible if his team did not yet put him on the 40-man roster. And so the way that teams protect players from the Rule 5 draft, as I said, is move them onto the 40-man. So that's like what they did with Angel Rondon and Ivan Herrera, those types. So they're not eligible. But there's a next tier of players down that there wasn't room on the 40-man roster, so other teams could pay a minimal fee. Well, it means $100,000, but they could get half of it back if they return the player. So teams can, you know, pick these players in Rule 5 draft for $100,000, but they're required to stay on the new team's roster for the entire upcoming season, or they can be put back on waivers or be returned to their original organization. So, you know, it's not completely without expense, but the view is that this year, you know, given the financial straits that baseball is in, teams will be looking for bargains, and potentially there could be a number of pitchers, especially changing homes in the Rule 5 draft. Then there's also a minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft, which are sort of the next level of players down, and those players don't have to be returned to their prior organization. I think it's like $24,000, $25,000 each for those players. So there'll be some movement of typically lesser names in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. But once in a while, a gem even comes out of there. That's how the Cardinals got John Brebbia back about 5 years ago in the minor league phase of Rule 5. So the Cardinals and all the organizations will be out looking for some, lesser known talent in the Rule 5 draft, which will be held on Thursday tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. And you mentioned John Brebbia. So the non-tender deadline came and went, and the Cardinals non-tendered John Brebbia. You and I talked about this. This could happen. This is a possibility. Now that it has, what's your reaction to seeing Brebbia gone?
Well, I think the decision to let John Brebbia, as well as first baseman outfielder Rangel Ravelo go, was driven more by the value of their 40-man roster spots than maybe their salary. Brebbia, you know, would make, you know, $800,000 at most in arbitration, so that money wouldn't have killed the Cardinals. But the roster was at 39 players. Now it's at 37. And that enables the Cardinals potentially to take one player in the Rule 5 draft, which would go to 38, and then still have two spots left to sign, potentially re-sign Molina and Wainwright, and that would put them back at 40. So it's, you know, part of the housekeeping that's needed over the course of the year to make sure that there's enough room to hold all the players that you want to keep.
There are, you know, still a wait-and-see approach at this point with Molina and with Wainwright, but one of the kids that is coming up as a catcher in the Cardinal system is Herrera, and I know you're following the guys in the Cardinal system that are playing winter ball. He's one of them, so how is he faring, and how are some of the others that are playing winter ball, how are they faring thus far?
Well, and we have reports every week on the hitters in winter ball and every other week on the pitchers because they don't pitch as often. So, and some big names have now started to play in winter ball. Not all the leagues have even started. Puerto Rico is still is going to start in just a few days. But they're playing in the Dominican, they're playing in Venezuela, they're playing in Mexico. And players like Angel Rondon, Genesis Cabrera, the left-hander, who's pitching very well in early action. And as you said, the young catcher, Ivan Herrera, has also just started to play. So it's still early, but, you know, it's good to see these youngsters who really didn't get a year of play in 2020, get some winter ball work in.
I want to ask you about, and I love reading your top prospect countdown. It's fun. It's 50 days, 50 nights, 50 prospects of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm going to start with the position player side, because there's a couple of guys that have caught my attention that I think could play a role, and who knows how big that role will be in 2021. And one of them was Edmundo Sosa. I was a little surprised, Brian, we didn't see him more this last year. And he can play all over the infield, probably could play the outfield if you wanted him. But last year in winter ball, he started to show signs of some power. He can flat out pick it defensively. This guy is a really good defensive player. You had him listed at number 21. What do you think the outlook right now is for Sosa going forward in 2021?
Well, it was tough to get information from the alternate camp. But what we know about Edmundo Sosa is that he was one of the players who had made the team out of summer camp, but was struck down by coronavirus. And, you know, some guys bounced back more easily. We saw Molina come back fairly quickly, for example. But we saw other guys like Lane Thomas, where you could see, you know, they weren't able to play at the level in the past. And that must have been the case with Sosa as well, because the Cardinals had a need in the infield multiple times. But what we saw, and what was surprising to me, was that Max Schrock was a guy that continued to get the call to come up to St. Louis. And, yeah, he's a left-handed hitter, but he's not the player that Sosa was. And, in fact, Schrock ended up being put on the waiver wire after the season. And so, you know, I think the reason that Sosa – I have to assume that the reason that we didn't see Sosa in St. Louis this summer was, you know, because he wasn't at 100% after getting COVID. But he's in a very good situation for him right now, because not only did Max Schrock move on, but of course you also lost two infielders in Colton Wong and Brad Miller. So the Cardinals, you know, need infield help, and Sosa is clearly the next guy in line to step up. He also has no minor league options remaining. So that means that either he has to stick with St. Louis in 2021 or be, you know, potentially exposed to waivers. They can't just send him to the minor leagues like they did, you know, in the past. So Sosa, this is going to be a really huge spring for Edmundo Sosa. And all indications are, if he's healthy and ready to go, you know, he should again be on the Cardinals roster on opening day, in my opinion.
And the same can be said currently constructed with your number 17 prospect there with Justin Williams, because he too is out of minor league options. So this is a big offseason and spring training potentially for him as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, there are a lot of things that are unfortunate about 2020. One of the things that was unfortunate is the Cardinals were unable to really sort out their outfield, right? We still don't know for sure. Yeah, you know, O'Neill had a great season with a glove, but we didn't see the power that we hoped for. You know, Bader had a good year, but was at a mirage. You know, Fowler got hurt. You know, Thomas was, you know, basically unusable. And what that meant was, and, you know, combined with the fact they only played 58 games, Justin Williams never got a chance to come up to St. Louis and play. Right? He's kind of in the second tier of those outfielders. And so what happened was Williams didn't get called up until the final 2 weeks of the regular season. You know, I think he only got like 6 plate appearances and, you know, didn't do much with it, but you can't really, you know, fault him for that. And again, as you mentioned, Williams, like Sosa, is another guy who's out of minor league options. And so, you know, it's not as clear that he will make the team, especially if the Cardinals bring in another outfielder from the outside without, you know, trading any others. We also don't know how big the roster is going to be in camp. I mean, in you know, the 2021 season. Will it be 26? Will it be 28? Will it be 30 initially? And all those factors come into play. But I think Williams' roster spot is much more tenuous than Sosa's just because of the difference in their positions. That, you know, Sosa's at a position where the Cardinals have a clear need, and Williams is still trying to fight his way through the hierarchy of the Thomases and O'Neills and all to get regular work.
Now, there's a couple, though, outfielders that do have options. So that would kind of maybe, you know, through roster construction currently, the way that it's developed right now, kind of give him, I don't want to say the inside track, but at least through the numbers and the business side of it, that's going to help him. Austin Dean, I believe, still has options, and maybe Lane Thomas does as well. Is that correct?
That's right. So let's say they all come to camp and they all play really well. Then, you know, Williams would probably get the edge for the roster reason that we mentioned, because Thomas and Dean could go back and forth between the minor leagues if necessary. So again, you know, another spring area of competition where these guys, and by the way, you know, Ravello's gone now, so that also creates a little bit more space. But still, you know, these guys are going to be guys coming to camp, and I'm talking about Williams, Thomas, and Dean, who are going to, you know, have to scrap for every at bat and, you know, can't waste a single opportunity because, you know, still the Cardinals are going to want to play O'Neill. They're going to want to play Bader. So, you know, those outfield at bats are going to be extremely important in the spring.
There's top prospects, Brian Walton, my guest of thecardinalnation.com, on the pitching side. I remember hearing a lot and then seeing in spring training Griffin Roberts. You have him at number 20. Where is he as one of those young pitchers that maybe could break through like we've seen with others that the Cardinals have had? And again, they've got young pitching coming. He might be one of them. But where is Griffin Roberts in terms of being close to the big league club?
Well, Griffin Roberts is an interesting case. You know, he was taken 43rd overall in 2018. So, quite a pedigree from Wake Forest. His first full season was damaged by the fact that he had a drug suspension. But, you know, he's a guy that in college threw in the mid-90s, has a good changeup. And, really he started at high A, Palm Beach. And that was a pretty, difficult level of performance. And he did not pitch well, had a lot of trouble throwing strikes, but went down to the Arizona Fall League after the 2019 season and pitched very, very well. Now, a little bit of concern was that his velocity was down and, he stopped before the season was over. But Roberts was in instructional camp, and as far as I could tell, he looked normal. But he was kind of on the cusp of the guys because remember that the only guys that could go to alternate camp would be the alternate camp last year were the ones that could fit in the 60-man player pool. And Roberts didn't really have the experience where he was going to be ready to help St. Louis, but yet the Cardinals wanted to prioritize – better prospects like Thompson and Liberatore, and so there wasn't room for Roberts to be on that alternate camp squad, which means he didn't really get the action this last year. But the point is, with his pedigree, Roberts, there's no reason to believe Roberts shouldn't get a chance to compete for a starting job at Double A. The question will be, can he continue to develop, throw more strikes, or will he end up being a reliever, and that's to be determined.
Yeah, I'm excited about Thompson, Liberatore, Cody Whitley, Griffin Roberts. That to me, Brian, overall, as we evaluate where the Cardinals are, and you can say maybe they're in a little transition period with some of the guys that they have at the big league club, some of the money that comes off the books at the end of this upcoming season, but still, when you look at where the Cardinals are, it's pitching, and they're still the strength with this team right now and this organization, I think you would agree, is they're pitching, major league club and in the minors.
No doubt about it. And in addition to the guys you mentioned, here's three other pitchers who are in the top, in the top 20 that we've in our rankings that are still rolling out right now, who you didn't even mention, pitchers. And I'm talking about Junior Fernandez. I'm talking about Seth Elledge and Tony Losi, who was a guy that, was drafted in 2019. We didn't get a chance to see him. But the Cardinals have some tremendous talent that's going to be pushing, to the upper levels of the minor league system. And, in a normal year, you'd think, well, maybe some of those guys are trade candidates. But there are so many free agents now in the market that if the Cardinals, wanted to go at a bat, they could probably pick up a guy without having to give away some of this, pitching riches that they have, which – if 2021 is anything like 2020, they're going to need that depth.
No doubt. I'll wrap it up with this. A couple more things. John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations, will meet with the media via Zoom today, virtually this afternoon. What are some of the things you think that he'll address with the Cardinals? I mean, obviously, and the media. It'll be Wainwright, Molina. But what are some of the other things you think will be addressed by John today?
Well, I can tell you what I'm planning to ask. One of the things I want to talk to him about is, the assumptions that are being made about the budget for the 2021 season. I mean, we know that the vaccine for the virus is going to roll out probably slowly into the spring. Won't be available in everyone's body by opening day. So the question is going to be, at what point in time do the Cardinals make the necessary decisions about their budget so that they can plan accordingly for the year? Because on a normal schedule, spring training camp's going to open in February. So we're, it's like 2 months, 2.5 months from now. So, I get that the situation is fluid, but I think that the situation is going to be fluid well into next year. And at some point in time, I think they need to make commitments on how much they're going to spend. Another area that I, you know, it's getting a lot of attention right now is a designated hitter. And, you know, I'm curious if he thought that the designated hitter was ever going to be resolved quickly, knowing that it has to be collectively bargained with a union. And there are so many other open issues that are outstanding right now.
Yeah. And I think some teams are kind of like, well, you know, we'll deal with it if we have to deal with it. And other teams are saying, yeah, we really want to know. And I think there are players that are saying, please bring the DH because I want my marketplace to be big. I need the other half of the league to bid on my services. It's really important for the player, especially Marcell Ozuna, Nelson Cruz, some of the others that are out there.
Ideally, for the players and the teams, they would make a quick decision. But yeah, as we've discussed in the past, these decisions don't get made on a piecemeal basis. And so, you know, there are so many other things that have to be negotiated as well regarding the season in terms of how much will players be paid if they can't play all the games in full stadiums? What will roster sizes be? What will expanded playoffs be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And they're probably going to end up having to resolve all those issues in a big package. So the Nelson Cruzes, you know, they're just going to have to get by. But the reality is, Dan, I think pretty much everybody agrees when all the smoke is away and the decision's made for 2021, the designated hitter is going to be there. It's going to get negotiated in. So some teams, like the Braves did a year ago, may need to gamble and sign a Marcell Ozuna before they know for sure. And it paid off handsomely for Atlanta. So, you know, I get the concern about the designated hitter, but somehow baseball got through it last year without making the decision until June. And I think it'll happen again this year too.
And finally, what are you working at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, as I mentioned, we have our regular reports on the Cardinals players in winter ball, including some scouting reports on them from, we've got some guys who've got some eyes on the telecasts of those games that are going on in the Dominican. We continue that down our top 50 prospect list. We're now at number 15. And so one of those is up every day, and there's detailed information on each of these guys. It's not just a list of names, but we describe not only their tools that the players have, but then also an in-depth analysis of what their season was like last year and what their 2021 season looks like and what their career potential might be. So a wealth of information. Of course, I'll be on the call with Mo, so we'll summarize what he has to say. We'll be all over the Rule 5 draft tomorrow as well.
Awesome stuff, Brian. Thanks so much as always. We'll catch you up next week, next Wednesday, and hopefully some of the answers to these questions will be answered by next week. But as always, thanks, and I advise everybody to head to thecardinalnation.com. Talk to you next week.
So long.